Hey everyone, Daniel here. Just wanted to interrupt before the podcast started to let y'all know that we had, with this episode, technical difficulties with not only my microphone, but Zencastr. And because of Zencastr's awesomeness, sarcasm, we lost half of the audio to this episode. So this episode starts kind of halfway through our conversation. Just want to let you know that. Also, I am a drunken ass in this episode, so I hope at least it's entertaining, and definitely thanks for listening. On to the show.
And we're back.
Are we?
Wait, oh, for fuck's sake, man. All right, yes, we're actually back. God damn. All right, so, you know, for context, when we cut out, Dan was having some microphone issues and ineptitude issues with his own fucking lack of intelligence, so...
Fuck you.
But we've sorted that out, you know. Dan had his live-in assistant give him a hand with it. Anyway... So why don't we talk about, this is something that I was kind of interested in talking about, and I didn't put on the docket for the episode, but so essentially, have I mentioned to you about my recent like introductions to lockpicking? Was this on the last episode?
Yeah, you weirdo.
Oh, wow.
No, I mean, it wasn't. I just wanted to call you a weirdo.
Oh, go fuck yourself, man. Yeah, so essentially a few months ago, I live in Austin for context. ACL is a huge music festival here, and... So one of my neighbors was shit-faced drunk and locked out of her apartment, and I was sitting outside smoking, and I heard them trying to kick down their door because she just wanted to get in that badly. She was drunk. I don't think she was enjoying herself. And like a few years ago, I think somehow I came into possession of a single lockpick. I'm not really sure how. And sort of as an alternative to kicking down the door, I said, all right, well, why don't I try and pick the lock first? And so I got a screwdriver to torsion the inner bolt, and I used the lock pick, and I actually managed to get in about 5 minutes. And so I started looking into lock picking because that was like a power trip.
Because you are a Khajiit, and you...
Yeah.
Where's for sale?
Khajiit has done nothing wrong. Khajiit is innocent. Khajiit has wares if you have coin.
There you go. Here's some coin. Anyway.
So yeah, I got into lockpicking recently, and I picked up this really cool, it looks like a pocket knife, and it goes on your keychain, but what it actually is this miniature lockpick kit. The lockpicks swing out. It's a set of six or seven, maybe eight lockpicks, and they swing out like a Swiss Army knife. And there's a tension wrench built in too. So it's this really... I mean, of course, you know, it's on your keychain, or at least it is on mine. So it's fucking useless if you actually get locked out because your keys are there too. And so if you've lost your keys, you've lost your picks.
Yeah.
But it's a cool thing to just have with me. And I've been practicing on my own lock and, you know, on just like a padlock I have sitting around. And it's actually pretty fucking alarming how quickly you can get in to most average locks.
You know, there's an ex and you want to fuck her over. You just get into her apartment. You know, maybe like plant a used condom for her new boyfriend to find.
Or a pipe bomb.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, we're overdue for the next shot, by the way.
I know. I was trying to avoid it.
God damn it. Well, I'm going to blame the technical intermission. So what with the, like, you know, 2 minutes. You can pound my whiskey also if you want, instead of tequila. So because of the technical intermission, I think we're on time. All right. You got it poured and ready to go?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Fuck me. I mean, it's gotten more tolerable, I guess, but that, like, agave kick is still horrifically disgusting.
For me, it's the jalapeno kick.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm not as much of a masochist as you, mister. I took 5 drinks.
Wait, a masochist? Are you Jewish?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a masochist, but you do the self-flagellation with potatoes instead of...
Unleavened bread, my friend.
Matza? Oh, I'm thinking of latkes. That shows you what a fucking
dirty Muslim
shiksa, shiksa Muslim I am.
You're just a dirty Turk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like the antithesis of being a Jew. yeah, anyway, lockpicking. I've essentially got it down to where I can get in my apartment in about 10 seconds using the picks. It's abysmal.
Note and I ended- yourself, use NFC lock on door around birth.
Yeah. Although, honestly, there's like a couple locks that are fairly common that are basically impossible to pick using conventional means. Like, Quickset makes this set of locks called the Smart Key Locks, and they're really designed for apartment complex owners so that they can easily rekey locks without having to buy a whole new lock. But they're, like, using conventional picks, at least. They're fucking impossible to pick. You have to use a special tool, which, to be fair, it takes about 2 seconds to break the lock if you do it with that tool, but it destroys the lock.
Yeah. So then you're fucked.
Look, man, I feel like we're running out of things to talk about, and we just got started
because we're both done. Just too end drunk. Podcast.
Woo! All right, yeah. From here on out, we're just gonna do a personal recording, I guess.
No. Okay, so I have. I have things to talk about. Did you see the so I mean on the topic of talking about new shit, have you heard of this internet.org thing?
Yeah, it's a Facebook's attempt to provide free internet in India, but it wasn't good enough.
What's
for free internet?
India, but it's like it's a lot of places, but like India was the place where the government was like, "Wait. What?" So imagine like, yeah, you know, underprivileged communities in rural areas, we're going to provide you with Wi-Fi so you can go on the internet. But since it's Facebook providing the Wi-Fi, the internet that you get to access is internet that is basically censored by Facebook. Like,
it's censored in the sense that it's Facebook products.
Yeah, it's Facebook sanctioned internet is what it is.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, you know, it's on one hand, I think that it's better than nothing, you know?
Right.
It's like, you know, if you have access to some sort of doctor locating service and you have gangrene, that's great. That's really great. And I feel like the idea of complaining about free internet because it's restricted is a very first world application of values to a third world situation.
Well, no, and I agree with you, but imagine this, and I know this might be pushing the comparison, but I do find it somewhat comparable. Imagine, you know, like there are in the world currently, there are people who need food because that's a thing. And imagine that there's a company that is willing to give them the food. And imagine that company is McDonald's. How would you feel about that?
I mean, you know, a Big Mac is better than dirt.
Than a dirt Mac?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, you know. It's better than a dirt sandwich with dirt buns and dirt sauce.
And roach patties.
Oh, gosh. No, don't knock roaches, man. Full of protein.
Fair enough.
This is really going off the rails, man.
Yeah, but the point being, I heard about this listening to, I listen every week to a podcast called This Week in Tech, Twit. And it's like one of the most popular tech podcasts ever. And they were talking about this issue, and one of the people on the panel that week was an Indian guy who's a, you know, a tech pundit, like a very popular tech commentator. His name is Om, I forget his last name. Oh, fuck. Om Malik.
Don't try because you're going to inevitably end up being horrifically racist.
It's Om Malik is his name. And I think his website is like om.net or some shit. Anyway, his name is Om Malik. And dude was talking about how in India, the journalistic establishment slash government establishment was basically 100% against this internet.net thing. And the reason Ohm was against the internet.net thing was because they were masking private interest internet as public interest internet.
I suppose that makes sense. You know, in an ideal world, it wouldn't be like that.
Yeah. That being said, it was like, this is a nice thing to do, but don't pretend that it's like unbiased internet.
Yeah, and I suppose that's like one of the downfalls of essentially the current system of philanthropy is that in most cases, you know, barring exceptions like the Melinda Gates Foundation or Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right. Like in the end, it is financed by corporations that have a vested interest in this, like, quote unquote philanthropy that they're offering.
Yep.
And yeah, but you know, it's, you definitely have to balance the evils here. In the case of, like, it totally makes sense, the complaints they have. But on the other hand, you know, from an ethical framework, how much good is coming out of this from an absolute standpoint? Because, you know, Facebook, as far as, like, treating this as a business interest goes, isn't going to even do it at all if there isn't something in it for them, because that's the fundamental corporate viewpoint.
Right. And so there's something to be said about, like, you know, it helps people, and the only reason you would do it is because your company gets anything out of it in the first place. And that is a fair argument.
I mean, if you want to take issue with it, I think you have to take issue with the underlying system rather than the company itself. Like, you can't reasonably expect Facebook to act like a pure philanthropic organization, but on the flip side, it is shitty that they're essentially, like, they're taking this market that wasn't even a market before. They're giving them free access, but they're also, like, by hook and crook, buying them into the Facebook system.
Mm-hmm. And one of the arguments was that this market doesn't really necessarily need or even want the internet. Like, you know, like, if they wanted it, there would be a market for it, at least in India, right? Like, maybe not in, like, sub-Saharan Africa. You know, like rural Ghana might not provide the supply if there's demand. But rural India nowadays can provide the supply if there's demand. And the thing is, there's no demand. Like, when they're providing the supply, the people who are natives to these rural areas who don't want the internet really are like, the fuck do I want? Like, they're educated enough to be like, I don't want your internet. Like, it's either like regular internet or nothing. And I don't even want the regular internet. Is there
fucking farmer connoisseurs of free media?
Yeah, they're kind of, yes, which is weird. It's a weird.
I don't know, man. I can't even pretend to understand the situation here from a single article. And to top it off, this article that you linked, which was, let's take a look here. It is a Fortune magazine article.
Yep.
And it's based on a Wall Street Journal article that was written, and that's hidden behind a paywall that, you know, I'm not nearly rich enough to pay for the Wall Street Journal when it's not even in line with my political leanings.
Oh, you mean never? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, essentially, like, you know, I don't think either of us have a really firm grasp on the situation. I think from both sides, like, there's a pretty solid argument to be made for and against. But in the end, without being an Indian farmer, I can't really say whether in the end it causes more good than it does, like, sort of subconscious distaste at the idea of capitalizing on a philanthropic project.
I mean, like it could go either way. If it were me and I were, like, an educated person.
Take a shot, bitch.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would feel like shit if I didn't.
So for some context, after last week or last episode of tequila, I did not eat, that time. And we ended up taking somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 shots and I was puking the rest of the night. So here's to you, 2 listeners, that I'm destroying my liver and life for.
Woo! Masochism.
Mm-hmm. That's the theme of this podcast. Just take the drink. Take the drink.
Okay. 3, 5, 1, go.
Numbers.
Yeah, jalapeno was a bad choice.
Yeah, dude. Alcohol. I mean, God, tequila is rough enough as is. I don't know why you'd subject yourself to that.
Milk was a bad choice.
I don't know what that's a reference to. What? I'm just laughing because it feels polite.
Anchorman, you idiot.
Oh, well, I've seen the movie, but...
It's the part where he's, like, in the summer heat and he's drinking milk because the milk is curdled in the heat. And he's like, oh, milk was a bad choice. No?
I have no recollection of the scene, but I can relate to that, I guess. Yeah, sure. Okay, I'm lactose intolerant, so topics. Milk's always a bad choice.
Let's get through these topics before I have to take another shot, please.
Yeah. well, really, the only article left is we have this Verge article about why do profit-seeking companies keep making profitless Android phones? And you know, it's a fairly interesting article that breaks down the reasons for companies getting into the smartphone market into a couple of basic categories. So, like, one, for the very large companies that have they have a variety of divisions that do different products, like LG or Samsung or Sony.
Right.
They're engineering showcases. So, you know, LG has sub-companies such as LG Chem, LG Display, and LG Mobile. And by producing these phones, essentially, not at cost, but such that, you know, they're just barely making it into the black, they're really providing a showcase for their sub companies, and hopefully having a good consumer experience with them will lead you to buy other LG products, theoretically. Same for Samsung, I guess. And then there's the Amazon approach of treating smartphones as a shopping portal, which so the Kindle Fire tablets are a pretty good example of this in that they're like extremely cheap. Because Amazon is selling them at cost in the hopes that because they're so tightly integrated with the Amazon shopping service, it'll serve as a jumping off point for you to use even more Amazon services to buy shit. And then I think my favorite category is companies that do smartphones as an act of desperation. Because, you know, for BlackBerry, for example, this is their last branch before they hit rock bottom. They've tried everything. They've failed at just about everything. And here they are on their last leg, praying to God that switching to Android will help them. And then HTC is more of a margin case in this, but they've definitely passed their heyday and they're just grasping at straws.
Yeah, I agree with that. Being a person who previously has owned an HTC phone. No, but it's interesting. I mean, like, when you so again, when I was listening to Twit to This Week in Tech on Tuesday or whenever the fuck it was, one of the things that had come out last week, I believe on Friday, I don't remember when the fuck it was. I want to say Friday, but I'm talking out my ass. At some point in the recent past, Apple came out with their quarterly results. As far as like for the profitability, and I mean, like, Apple's profitability, a large margin of it, like a ridiculously large margin of it, is iPhone sales. And the reason they can make that much is not because, you know, like Google, they put their operating system in these phones. Google doesn't make money putting operating systems in these phones. Not directly. Indirectly they do, but not directly. And so that's not why Apple's making so much money. The reason Apple is making so much money is because they are selling these iPhones for a shit ton of money. And they're making money off the hardware of the iPhone, whereas these Android and, dare I say, Windows phone manufacturers aren't making much on hardware.
Yeah. I mean, the hardware market is always kind of dicey because unless you do something very Carnegie-esque in that you like control all of the fucking production steps from like the very basic to the very top, like there's not a whole lot of profit to be made in producing hardware. It's only those mega conglomerates that can really do it.
Was Carnegie vertical or horizontal?
Vertical, I think.
And then
but
Rockefeller was
– This is going back to like, you know, junior and high school level of shit.
You're right. Carnegie was vertical and then Rockefeller was horizontal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to – Anyways.
Rub-a-dub-a-dub-dub!
Rikki-tikki-tik-tok!
No, it's Rikki-tikki-taffy.
Oh, well, fuck. I guess your reference game is on point and mine is just scrubbed here.
You know, because I know my Rick and Morty, son.
Did you hear that they're they've started writing the next season?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go jizz on my laundry. Like, why do I care?
Please, dude. Just, you know, save yourself the effort. Do it into a towel or something. Don't ruin your fucking clothes and sheets with fresh jizz. Use your crusty sock.
Point being, big fucking deal. I want the episode, not the episode. I want the seasons to be done. Season singular to be done.
You know, I was actually watching a Comic-Con panel with them, and fucking Dan Roiland was talking about how he was on 6th Street here in Austin, and he was just like shit-face drunk and telling everybody that he was the guy who does Rick and Morty, and he was doing voicemails for people and shit.
That's awesome.
And now I live in the prayer that I will run into him one day and get him to do a voicemail as Rick.
That's so great. Wait, so talking about tech, did you see the last is it WWDC or WDDC? I forget what the fuck the Apple conference is called.
Worldwide Developers Conference?
WWDC. Yeah. So the last WWDC they had to introduce or like talk about Apple Music, they had Drake come on.
All right. No, I haven't. To be fair, I don't really keep up with WWDC.
Oh, I'm just not they had Drake come on, and Drake had this vintage Apple jacket.
All right.
That was like, it was like a vintage Apple employee jacket, and it was fucking incredible. It was actually beautiful.
Cool.
I was going to look it up, but it was fucking crazy. It was so cool. They go for now on eBay since that WWDC. They go on eBay for a fucking shit ton of money.
Should have gotten into that market beforehand, man.
I know.
Just collect random ass memorabilia from Apple and other tech companies from like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge market for that.
Look, man, there's a market for every like random ass article of memorabilia that you think of.
Here's an article. The article says vintage Apple jacket now costs $10,000 on eBay after WWDC event yesterday.
Because everyone wants to put it on and do the Drake shimmy.
I mean, I wanted it.
Oh, man.
I was like, fuck, that's a baller. It's a baller. It's like, imagine like the classic Letterman jacket where like the body is like a felt material and the arms are leather, but on the chest is on the chest is where the logos of clothing brands go.
There's like an apple rainbow apple.
Yep, that exact logo, the rainbow logo.
I mean, okay, so I found a picture of it, and it looks like a members-only jacket.
I know! it's kind of cool as fuck, honestly.
Dude, just go to garage sales and find some, like, 80-year-old man that's selling his members-only jacket and sew on an Apple logo.
I don't even like Apple that much, and I want it. I don't even, like, this is my designer side being, like wanting it so bad.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I kind of wanted to talk about this. Recent trends in automotive design. I know this is a tech podcast, but in reality, it's an alcohol podcast. And I don't know, like, you know, obviously anyone who's spent time outdoors near roads has seen how car design has sort of evolved since the 90s or, you know, whenever you were born.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely, I said.
Yeah. And I'm just curious. Take a shot.
Oh, no. I'm just curious. Fuck you, dog.
I'm just curious about how you're going to handle getting more drunk when you're clearly already shit-faced.
God damn it.
All right. 10, 9, 8, 2, pi, E. Imaginary number. Take the shot.
Okay. Yay!
Oh, no, not yay. Oh, God.
Why?
It never gets easier. It only gets equivalent.
I really want to go like refrigerate, like pre-refrigerate. So for context, my roommate is a manager of restaurants and yesterday brought home like a metric fuck ton of liquor and beer and wine. And I want to go like refrigerate a beer just for my sanity.
What? You're going to drink more to help with your fucking crippling drunkenness?
Beer is better than shots of jalapeno alcohol, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've spent this whole podcast wishing I could switch to the handle of fucking Johnny Walker Red Label sitting on the counter in front of me.
Hey, man, don't complain. I have, like, spicy pain in my shots.
I mean, I'm not... Dude, you did that to yourself.
Well, you know why I did it? Okay. The reason I did it is because a buddy of mine, when I went over to his apartment for his birthday... I accidentally left a handle of tequila that I had brought. Oh my god. I just like burped a disgusting burp.
I mean, yeah, you heard mine. Jesus, it tastes like alcohol and my own despair is fleeing my body.
There you go. That's exactly what it is. Like,
oh god, dude.
I left tequila at my buddy's party and his boyfriend was like, "Yo, I'm gonna put habaneros in this tequila so we can drink later as a mixed drink." And I was like, "Do it." And I came back, you know, me and Sadie, my girlfriend, went back a couple months later and had some of it. Like, he mixed some drinks up for us and it was fucking bomb. Like, it was really,
yeah, man. But I mean, you know, just because somebody slipped their finger up my butt while they were giving me a blowjob once doesn't mean I'm gonna go and shove a fucking beer bottle up there.
If anything, if anything, my analogy is more that I enjoyed the beer bottle and right now I'm doing the finger because jalapenos are way less spicy than habaneros.
Yeah, but wasn't it a mixed drink?
No, mine was like tequila with like a little bit of like a homemade lemonade and that's it.
Yeah, but I think you're discrediting just how much that lemonade does to tamp down the habanero kick of tequila.
Fair, but jalapeno versus habanero tastes like shit.
Can we make this tech whiskey, man? I think that this is...
No, too late.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, the things we do for the sake of a catchy name.
I like tequila. I just don't like jalapeno tequila right now.
Good for you. I hate tequila in general. I'm sure there's someone out there who's a connoisseur who would disagree with me, but holy shit, I can't see any redeeming qualities in this.
Yo, what kind of let's talk about tech shit. What can we talk about?
Cars. That's where I was going before I interrupted my own thread of thought. Essentially, like, what do you think of where cars have been going? What I wanted to bring up was, you know, as someone who's a BMW aficionado, I think what happened with BMWs is they really hit kind of a heyday in the 90s and early 2000s in their design. They had a very, like, clean, not understated, but it was a very clean and visually appealing, rounded design to them. And that's definitely where, like, some of the most valuable secondhand BMWs come from. Is like an E30 M3. They sell for like around what they sold for when they were new because both the visual design is so appealing and from an automotive standpoint, that's when BMW really stuck to what people know or people who are in the like auto enthusiast community know BMW for, which is like, you know, these smaller cars with like moderate displacement engines that punch far above their weight class.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, people kind of deride BMW for being luxury barges that are underpowered for their size and weight. But from what I wanted to bring up is that from purely a design standpoint, I think after going through this sort of like muddled, ugly ass phase through the late 2000s and the beginning of the 2010s, BMW has really kind of hit their own stride in terms of the modern designs in their cars. The new BMWs are fucking beautiful.
I think this can be said of
like a lot of the luxury car brands.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But for me, what's more important, like generally design of cars across brands tends to be actually very similar. So for me, you know, as a designer, design is cool, but it doesn't, it's not a standing out point as much as it used to be. It's not a differentiator as much as it used to be. And for me, by leaps and bounds, talking about tech, the most interesting car company in the past few years for me, looking at just like trends, I've never owned a car in my fucking life because I'm a pauper, but looking at, you know, trends of the industry and shit, Tesla is cool as fuck. And
look, man, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about that, yeah, if you want to be like a cutting edge automotive hipster, go electric, because that's where all the
that's my point. And Tesla, when you look at Tesla, I mean, like when Elon Musk was like, hey, I'm gonna come out with this car brand, people were like, it's never gonna work, you can't challenge the established car brands, you'll never win. And he has like growing, or not he, but Tesla has growing one of the largest markets for largest share as in terms of like from when he started compared to other car companies, like the established companies versus now, it is fucking blown up. And his goal as someone who is in the electric car industry right now, what their goal is, Tesla as a company, is to use these expensive sports electric cars as a way to subsidize more and more, making cheaper and cheaper electric cars, to the point where if they, like, once they are able to make an affordable, quote unquote, affordable electric car that is super efficient, but affordable to them is probably like in the $32,000 to $35,000 range. Once they are able to make a car for that much money, Elon Musk will probably sell the company. Like, that's just his goal, is to do that.
But you know, the thing is, I don't know if Tesla is actually turning a profit right now.
They're not. But the thing is that, like, with that vision in mind, and the success that they've had, I mean, like, they were 100% negative at the outcome. The outcome, like the very beginning, they used fucking like Lotus parts. Like a Lotus chassis with like different parts to
shit, man. I remember the original Tesla Roadster. It was awesome. It was because it was essentially a modified Lotus Elise with a fuckload of batteries jammed into all of the available compartments, including where the engine is.
They took the Lotus chassis and threw a bunch of electric shit in it. But point being, they went from like chop shop bullshit to fucking like a legit ass car company. So like investors, despite it not being able to turn like a huge profit right now, and like it basically going even on profit, the fact that it is making advances this quickly is a huge sign of potential growth in the future, especially if they reach their goal. If they reach the goal of an affordable electric car within the next few years, which they probably will, investors are going to eat that shit up like breakfast. Like,
well, I think, I think the key point for Tesla, like what will essentially be the turnaround for their company, is this gigafactory that they're building in, I can't remember if it's Arizona or Nevada, but once they get this... What? The battery plant? I'm pretty sure that's not in Texas.
It's in West Texas, yeah. Look it up.
Shit. Well, Reno, Nevada.
Oh, never mind. I thought it was in West
Texas was a candidate, including, I think it was Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and Nevada. But the tax breaks that they got from Nevada were far and away higher than anywhere else.
I mean, they
and essentially, like,
prostitutes at the plant, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, worker benefits and shit, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Shot.
Oh, words.
Shot.
Words.
Yeah, it's that time again, buddy.
No!
Look, honestly, I think I am enjoying this more than you are, mostly because I get to see you devolve into an even worse state than you already are at.
I hate you.
Hey, man, this is just karmic payback for what happened to me last week.
I'm going to Grubhub, like, all the greasiest, shittiest food after this.
Yeah. Well, I might even go out to like Rainy or something after this.
You go out to the glorious Peteri's after.
You mean the one I live next to?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh Christ! I don't. Yeah, they'll be open. So maybe.
So would Kirby anyway, Lane if you want to.
Shot. Okay, shot.
Count down, Lil Jon.
No. I'm sorry I even said that, if that's what you're going to associate it with. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, shot. Why?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to bid you adieu because my death is imminent.
Blessed Bloody Mary. Oh man, I can't even remember the Archer prayer right now. That's how deep I am.
Son of a penis. Son of a penis. Why did I put jalapenos in these?
Look, man, I think the real issue here is that you went drinking before a tequila session.
I went drinking before the tequila session.
For I am a sinner in the hands of angry God.
okay. So picking up where we were. Tesla. I do believe that Tesla is the disruptor in the industry right now, in my opinion.
Wait, could you repeat that? Sorry.
Tesla is disrupting the industry, the car industry right now.
I mean, it is disruptive in a sense that, like, you know, I think Tesla is following a business model that Google has pursued very successfully in different markets, whether it be with Google Fi, which we discussed in our first episode, or whether it be with Google Fiber, or, you know, I think there are a bunch of companies doing this right now. But essentially, you know, they go into a market, they're not necessarily aiming immediately for like a sustainable profit margin or investor and shareholder return. But what they do is kind of upend the market. In the sense that, like, for example, Tesla, when it comes to forcing other companies to look at purely electric options, like, since Tesla became a thing, I know at least BMW has produced purely electric vehicles, the i3 and the supercar.
Way before BMW, Chevy and Nissan, hello?
Yeah, the Nissan Leaf and the Chevy Volt. I mean, yeah, BMW is just what I know more about. But yeah, definitely.
Because you're rich, that's why you know.
Can we talk about something else?
Because your family is well off and I'm a broke ass motherfucker. That's
1% problems. Oh man, I don't even know if we can publish this fucking episode.
It will happen. It will be done.
This will be like in the back archive that we publish when we're 4 years down the line.
Episode 3. Don't listen to this episode. Episode 3, skip on to the next one.
Yeah, episode 3, this is the worst in the trilogy. Oh, God.
Episode 3.
This is the Jar Jar Binks of tequila.
Episode 3, drunkenness is coming.
Return of the drunks.
Oh, man. God damn it.
The liver awakens.
Briefly, let's make this brief. Before the next shot comes in,
we still got a little time.
What can we talk about as far as like Steam games?
So Steam is doing that.
Soma.
We talked about Soma last time, man.
Did we?
Yeah, Soma came up in at least one of the previous podcasts.
You're positive.
Relatively, I mean, we can briefly recap. It's a great atmospheric sci-fi game that takes a page out of Amnesia's book. And, you know, you're helpless. The enemies are very, very creepy and terrifying. And the backstory and premise is absolutely incredible without spoiling anything. You know, it really, it sort of like toes the line of what's possible with modern neuroscience, which is kind of key to the plot. And it really runs with it in a really unique direction that you don't see in any games or even like most media, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like even modern sci-fi, the best of modern sci-fi is kind of running on the same wavelength that Soma is running on.
The best of modern sci-fi that I've seen is in video games. honestly.
You know, because you don't fucking read sci-fi, bitch.
I don't read. There's no modern sci-fi.
I don't read books. If you think there's no modern sci-fi, yeah, just get me to recommend you a few books.
I mean, I've been reading, right now I'm reading 1Q84 by Haruki Murakami, but that's more surreal than...
Because you're reading sci-fi by a well-established author that established themselves in other genres.
No, what I'm reading is not sci-fi, it's like surrealism.
You should check out Ancillary Justice.
I still have yet to read a few other things. Don't worry, I'll get to what you're saying now.
But just don't shit on modern sci-fi without knowing what the breadth of the current availability is. Put it that way. I like, there's a lot of sci-fi that really does work off of these really interesting ideas based in modern like brain technology. You know, there's a couple of books that I've read, even from like the early 2000s, that are predictive in terms of what's possible with neural implants and shit. But Soma really does a good job of integrating this otherwise really like broad and theoretical aspect of what sci-fi delves into a really practical and fun gameplay mechanic, where like, not mechanic, but into a gameplay backstory. And it really reminds you every step of the way of what it's saying about what's possible with the human mind and what the nature of the human soul is. And I don't know. I mean, it's a game I'd recommend to basically anybody, regardless of what they think of video games, because even if you just sit there on the easiest difficulty, terrified of the enemies, there's a lot to learn and to think about.
Soma is also a Brave New World reference.
Really?
Yeah. Have you read the book?
Yeah, I have, but this was back in like early high school.
Oh, yeah. Soma in the book Brave New World is the drug that...
Oh, okay. You know. Yeah, I vaguely remember this.
Yeah. Soma's the drug. Spot.
What are you listening to? I just got an echo of something from your computer speakers.
Oh, sorry.
Are you watching porn during the podcast again?
Woo!
All right, well, we're probably going to... Yeah, we should just take the next shot and be over with it.
Oh, do we have to, though?
I mean...
Fine, let's... Fine. Fine. I'm pouring it. Even though I really don't want to do this, I'm doing it.
You know, at this point, full disclaimer, I'm just going to pour myself a glass of whiskey and sip on it.
No, full disclaimer, you pour yourself a shot of tequila because this is tequila, you motherfucker.
There's one right here. Oh, all right. Yeah, sure. Tequila and stuff. I'll do that instead.
There you go, bitch.
Shut up, man. You're deeper in the hole than I am by a long shot.
Yeah, I'm deeper in your mom's hole.
My mom's dead.
No, she's not.
Shut up. That was a great comeback.
No, it wasn't. She's alive as fuck.
Yeah. Anyway. Unpublishable.
God damn it. It is absolutely publishable. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen,
listener and listeny.
Let us take this shot and be done with this goddamn episode. I bid you adieu.
Blessed shot full of tequila in the hour of my death.
With this shot, I wish you adieu and happy birthday. Goodbye.